Jesus recognized the setup when he saw this coming, and he very cleverly put them all in their place very quickly. I think in the life of Jesus, you know, he came for one purpose. He came to teach us a way of life. He came to bring us forgiveness and peace. He came to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. And it seemed like they were constantly trying to distract him from that. They were trying to get him to turn his attention to frivolous things, like how do religion and politics mix? Well, you know, that's still a question that's going on today. And Jesus, I think, resolved it pretty quickly. I mean, very simply for his situation, just take care of this matter of the tax and give to God the things that are God's, which ultimately is everything. So anyway, in the life of Jesus, we see this constantly going on, this battle of they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And so they would find a distraction, something to just get him away from teaching what he was teaching. They didn't want to hear it. You know, and that's the oldest trick in the world. I mean, your kids use that on you. You probably use it on other people. You know, if you don't want to hear what they have to say, and you can't conveniently change a subject, or you can't reason with them at least in a way that they will agree with you, then you begin to attack the person. It's always happened that way. They used to refer to that years ago when I studied logic about 200 years ago. They used to talk about the weakest argument always being the ad hominem argument, where you directed your attack against the person rather than the topic or the subject that you were supposed to be discussing and trying to figure out. And that still goes on. Still goes on very much in religion. You know, how often, say, like, if you are a parent that has a son or a daughter who is old enough to know better, but they choose to just move in with the one they are courting at the time, and you can talk to them until you're blue in the face. And no matter what, well, you're just, the argument you probably hear a lot of times is, you're just out of touch. You just don't understand what's going on in the world today. You come from a different age. You can't possibly understand what we're doing, you know. But you talk about the morality, try to talk about the morality of it, and then all of a sudden, oh, just get off that stuff. Get off my back, you know. I'm sure some of you have heard that. I get a kind of a kick out of Pope Francis. He makes a lot of statements, and I think sometimes it's just to jar people a little bit, to make them kind of think again. Jesus used to use stories and parables to kind of get people to think in a different line. You know, like Pope Francis has made it a point that everybody should feel welcome in the house of God. Everybody should feel welcome. No matter who they are, what they are, where they came from, that they should somehow feel that they are welcomed in the house of God. And yet, how many people will immediately attack him and say, you can't do that. These people are not, they're not living the Christian life. And Pope Francis says to them, I'm not the judge. I'm just pointing out what Christ is trying to tell us to do in our world today. That we, as the church of Jesus Christ on earth, we are the body of Christ, and we are supposed to do what he did. And he tried to make everyone feel that they belonged and were connected, no matter what their status in life might have been. He wanted them to somehow feel that they were still connected. And we seem to have such a big problem with that in our world today. If somebody is a known sinner, maybe take the example of a drug dealer. Everybody hates drug dealers, except the users. And I think they hate them too. But nonetheless, if one would appear in church, what would you do? You knew this person was had maybe sold a lot of drugs to very innocent people and maybe done a lot of damage to them. What would you do? If everybody's supposed to feel welcome in the house of God, what do you do? Do you get up and leave? Or do you stand up and point out to that this person doesn't belong here? See, what we don't know is what goes on inside the heart and the soul of anybody. We don't know if they've ever repented. We don't know if they've made every effort that they know how to change their life. We don't know all of that stuff. So we can't just say, well, you don't belong here. Maybe they need it as much as you and I need it. Maybe they need the Eucharist. Maybe they need to know that they somehow or another, God loves them enough to feel that there is some value in their lives, that he would invite them to come and worship with the community. So I think what Jesus did this a lot. He tried to get people to think just a little bit differently. You know, we say, okay, the greatest command is we love God above all things. We love our neighbor as ourself, except you and you and you and you and you, and we pick out a whole mess of them. We can't do that. You either follow the command of God or you're not following it. It doesn't mean that we don't fail sometimes, that you say things about people that could be very hurtful to them. Do you go and apologize to them? Do you try to make amends? Jesus just wants people to know that salvation is really meant for all people. And we can't be the ones to select who we think is worthy and who is not worthy. And so it's kind of like the Pharisees with Jesus. They didn't want to hear what he had to say because they weren't following it. They weren't paying attention to him. They didn't intend to. So what they would try to do instead of listening to him talk about you love God above all things, you love your neighbor yourself, you follow the commands that were given to you, follow the example of my life, that if you love people that you're willing to sacrifice and sacrifice your own will for something for their good, they didn't want to hear that. And so they kept trying to change the subject. And that still goes on in our world today. I guess what we have to do is keep reaffirming what Jesus said to us. We're not perfect, you know, and we're all going to mess up along the way. Everybody's going to do that. We're going to make judgments, or I don't think that person should ever show his face in church again. I don't think anybody, any Christian person, should talk to this person or associate with this person. But Jesus did all that. He did just exactly what we say we don't think we should be doing. And he said, this is what I want you to do. I want the world to know that God loves everyone. He wants us to love everyone. We seem to have a lot harder time with that, which is understandable. But as long as we're trying to make that effort, moving in that direction, then the church will be what he called us to be, his living presence in this world. And God knows our world needs his living presence to reaffirm values, to reaffirm the gift of love, to reaffirm forgiveness, to reaffirm mercy, and all of these things. This is what Christ came to teach us. The Pharisees didn't want to listen, and sometimes we don't want to listen either. But as long as we keep trying and keep trying to be open to what Christ is trying to have us do in this world, then I think he will be pleased with our efforts. Now, just one other thing, totally different. this week is the annual collection for Catholic Charities of Central Florida. The second collection this evening is going to be for that. And usually they have a speaker coming in for that, but I guess they were a little short this time. So anyway, it's important for us to understand that Catholic Charities of Central Florida does an enormous, enormous amount of service to people in need, in whatever circumstances. And see, with the storms of this past summer, of the past couple months, they're reaching out and extending help even further. And of course, they can only help with what they receive. And most of that comes from us. So you're asked to consider, they feed, I think, over 100,000 people a year. They have counseling services. They have immigration services. They have adoption services. They have all kinds of stuff that go on. They help people when they can't, when, you know, somebody gets their paycheck away from being broke or homeless. Sometimes they can provide at least part of that to help the people stay in their home, and all this kind of really Christ-like work that goes on in the diocese. So as you think about them, you may want to think about them, say, as a charity that really is deserving of help, because it's not like 20% of that goes to administration or anything of that nature. I think the percentage that goes to administration for Catholic Charities of Central Florida is probably more like 3-5%. So anyway, think about it. Maybe it's a charity that you want to continue to support because the need seems to be constant, has been going on for some time. It's even worse now with the people suffering from the storms and losing their homes and their property and everything they owned. Is still much more of a need today. So think about it. If you can help them on a regular basis, I'm sure they would greatly appreciate that. If you can help them, say, in the second collection today, I'm sure they would be very honored with your trust in their ability to serve as Christ asks us all to serve. Thank you.